Hi, my name is Don Hahn. I'm the producer of Lion King and Beauty and the Beast, and you're listening to the Pixar podcast.
To infinity and beyond!
So, how long is this going to take?
Squirrel!
You can't rush art.
I never look back, darling. It distracts from the now.
What's the point of going out there? They'll only laugh at me.
Stranger, from the outside.
Greetings.
Hello there, everybody. You're listening to the Pixar Podcast. This is episode number 115. ThePixarPodcast.com/115 is where you can find the show notes for this episode. I'm Derek Clements. And today is June 19th, 2015, which means that Inside Out is playing across the nation in the United States and elsewhere in theaters. I have seen the film. And now I'm sure many of you have seen the film. And so today, before we get to our review episode, which will come out in the next couple of days, we've recorded it. I think it turned out pretty well. Today we're going to listen to an interview. Now this is an interview that I've been very excited to share with you because it was a very special thing that the Pixar Podcast got to do a couple months ago. This was after I went to Pixar and interviewed some people. There are still a few more interviews from that trip that I'm going to share with you over the next few weeks, including an interview with the co-director, Ronnie Del Carmen. But a couple months ago, Pete Docter and Jonas Rivera, the director and producer of Inside Out, came to Utah. And so I actually was not able to go. I was out of the country. But I had a correspondent who I really like and who I trust a lot, Hunter Phillips, go to the event for me. So he recorded an excellent interview with Pete Docter and Jonas Rivera. So a big thanks to Hunter for being willing to do this interview, and I hope you really enjoy it. Now, before we get to the interview, I have to tell you about a special thing we're doing with the podcast. If you go to thepixarpodcast.com/blog, you will see details about this. We want your core memories. So Inside Out, of course, covers the idea of memories and certain memories being really important to developing a personality. And I want to know, what are those memories for you? What are the things that have happened in your life that have shaped who you are today? So please send those in. If you go to thepixarpodcast.com/blog, you can write in your memories. But even better would be to record an audio recording of yourself and send that in. If you do that, just send your audio snippet to thepixarpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can call in on our brand new comment hotline, which is 1-385, and you guys ready for this? 23-PIXAR. So I'm really excited about that phone number that we have. So 385-23-PIXAR is the hotline for you to call and leave your voice message. So I am very excited to hear your memories. We've already got some coming in, and it's been really, really fun. So if you send those in, then you may hear your memory on a special episode of the podcast that will be coming up. And so check back for episode 116, which will be our review of Inside Out, coming by the end of the weekend. And for now, let's listen to Hunter Phillips interview director Pete Docter and producer Jonas Rivera.
How's everything at the Pixar Podcast?
Everything's going well. You know, it took about a year off. I guess the same. There wasn't a movie.
Yeah. So, got a year to take off.
But everything's great. I'm kind of, he's the guy who runs it, and he's in Canada right now, and I said, please let me do this.
Well, right
on. So, first, the movie's terrific.
Cool.
Thank you. And I mean this as the highest compliment possible. This is the most cartoony movie I've seen in a long time.
Awesome.
Thank you. That means more than you know.
That was an intentional. We set out to do that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd love if you'd elaborate on kind of the influences, because I'm just seeing, like, I'm seeing Fleischer here. I'm seeing Stanley Symphonies, like the movement.
Mm-hmm. So I started back on Toy Story as a supervising animator, and it was something we struggled with even then back on Toy Story, like really wanting to push things in the way that we had seen growing up. You know, we watched all these Tex Avery cartoons. I was huge on Chuck Jones, and, you know, you'd I would step through frame by frame, and you'd see all these great distortion drawings, and I'd be like, I want to do that, and we can't. Okay. So I'm kind of stuck with a little more of a physical limitation of the models at that time. They were really kind of like puppets, you know, or dolls that you could move around and articulate. So it was something that we kind of struggled against. And then really, I think a big thing was watching Glenn Keane mm-hmm. and the guys on Tangled.
Yeah.
And the way they worked, and you probably know this, they're working on CG, you know, models, and Glenn would step through, freeze on frames, and draw over, and he would emphasize certain things, like if you really push the arm, like the shoulder up higher, okay, the model actually can't do that, but I want it to based on your drawing, so I'm going to, you know, distort it or stretch it or in ways
that, eye shapes and things.
Yeah. A lot of big stuff and small, subtle stuff. So we kind of replicated that on this show. We had Tony Ficilli, who's an amazing animator. He's one of the guys who did Iron Giant. He did a ton of character design work on The Incredibles. He's just like an amazing talent.
Didn't he animate the Jasmine and Aladdin kiss and things? Like, big moments in some of the Disney movies. He was just a really amazing animator and craftsman.
So between him and some new technology we developed, we were finally able to make, and the fact that this concept really kind of calls for it, we want these emotions to move, to look, to act the way we feel about those feelings. So they shouldn't be tied to physical reality. They should be able to, you know, stretch their arms or, you know, zip really fast across the screen, because that's what it feels like when you're happy, you know.
There's a moment in the film where anger punches fear, and fear drops, and then his eyebrows float down.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That's like little things like that we've never done before. But we did all that stuff with the tools and with Tony Ficilli, and then also before dailies every day, we'd show like some Chuck Jones cartoon or something. So, you know,
we'd have all the Tex Avery
cartoon time in the morning to before dailies. So just it was constantly pushing on that.
So that was a long answer, but you got us going.
No, that's so cool. That's what I want to talk about, because that brings me to abstract thought.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah.
Which is maybe the most true representation of what animation can be that I've seen in like a major feature. And yeah, were there other ideas like abstract thought that fell away in the process?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, just to talk about abstract thought. So in the film, for the listeners who haven't seen the movie, Joy is taking a shortcut through this building, and it turns out to be the place where abstraction occurs. So we all know about, say, three apples, but at some point in our development, we understand the concept of three, which you can't really point to three. You know, it's just a concept, and that's what this place is. So we were able to visualize that by turning these forms into more and more abstract, flat, weird shapes, which was like, oh my gosh, we got to do this. This is going to be so fun. And then it took a lot of bending over backwards to make sure that the story demanded it, that it was propelling us through there, so that you couldn't just take that sequence out of the movie and throw it away. It needed to be there. So I hope we succeeded in that.
Yeah, we were so proud of that. Just even in the early days of the script and looking at that in storyboards, we couldn't wait to, because we didn't know how we were going to do it. We had to come up with different ways and whole separate little team to work on it. But we're glad you liked it, because it's one of the things I'm most proud about the movie.
We looked at like Porky and Wacky Land, and you know, there's a bunch of other
pink elephants, things like that.
Because it's our chance to really, you know, push it, and if we can't do it now, then when are we ever going to be able to do this again?
We even tried to echo that in the sound design and the score.
Oh, yeah,
we just like fun. We're like, just flatten everything out and push it as far as you can, and you know, it's very fun.
So the music, the sound goes from surround to flat to mono, you know, along with the visuals.
It's extremely cool, which it's kind of indicative of the whole world that you've built for this, because in every other movie that Pixar has done, there's been at least some grounding in something. I mean, so for 75% of this movie, it's something you had to invent.
Right.
So was just even beyond a story level, just conceiving of the world, a major part of this process?
Yeah, it was really hard. I totally underestimated how hard it was going to be.
Yeah, me too. I bet Ralph Eggleston, our production designer, would agree.
Yeah.
Just for what you said, there's no, what's a chair? They sit in a chair, says the script. Well, what's that in the mind? Where'd they get it? Did they build it? Is it made of wood? Is there trees there?
Where would they get wood?
It just starts to unravel. Every single thing would unravel into the biggest
you know, and then we did like, should we do this? You know, we'd go all the way out. Yes, we should. Let's figure it out. And you said something early on that was, I think, really key, which is we want this to be the mind, not the brain. So we're going to stay away from inner space and blood vessels and stuff and make this metaphoric. So that gave us license, right? And in the movie, by description, if you just read it, it starts to lean a little towards sci-fi and consoles and starts to feel like a ship. So the art department and part of the design was really making sure it had a sense of whimsy and it was childlike and the mind felt like the mind of a little girl. This was specifically about Riley. So what does
Jonas would pitch it as, it's Apple Store meets It's a Small World at Disneyland.
Yeah,
the kind of whimsy of the one, but the elegance of design.
Yeah, it needs to still be sort of clinical. It's the one, but yeah, it had to be fun. There's whirly gigs and sounds and things.
Yeah,
if you listen close in the in that, it might even sound like It's a Small World when they pull the levers.
Cool. So at the beginning of the movie, something interesting happened. I mean, we meet Riley basically at her birth.
Yes,
and that's when we meet Joy, and. For fear, anger, and disgust, there's kind of an event that triggers them showing up, or at least from what we see. But sadness just kind of, Riley starts crying, and sadness is there.
Yeah.
Is sadness kind of a mystery to you guys?
A little bit. You know, most emotions have a very obvious reason for existing. Fear keeps you from getting hurt, you know. Anger makes sure things are safe. Fair. And but sadness is one of those where you're like, why do we want to feel sad? Why is that useful? So we use that to our advantage in the storytelling. And that's certainly Joy's point of view. The film is kind of told from a parent's point of view. Joy is our protagonist. And we as parents don't want our kids to be sad. You don't want them to have rough times in life. So we spend a lot of time trying to make sure that things are good for them and make, you know, oh, they're crying about this or that. So. Yeah. But in the end, I mean, life is more complicated, and there are going to be times when you're disappointed or feel lost or whatever. And so that's the journey that Joy goes through, is kind of understanding the usefulness of that.
Mm-hmm. Because we're here in Utah, which is the self-medication capital of the world. And I mean, we have a culture here that basically rejects the idea of sadness. And it's all, I mean, it's, you know, this is a place where joy is paramount. I mean, to a fault, probably.
Maybe. I mean,
that's true of America, generally.
I think it's true a lot. I mean, I remember.
Maybe the world, I don't know.
Even talking to Amy Poehler, you know, about the pitch of the movie. And as a parent, you know, she says, oh my gosh, I tell my boys, like, don't be sad. You know, we kind of laugh, like, I know we all do that, you know, Salt Lake City or not. There's just something about avoiding that that's so truthful. It came up with like a sports medicine analogy of like a baseball player. Hurts his elbow and can't pitch, so gets a cortisone shot in the elbow, so he can't pitch. Well, the pain is still there, right? It's still there's a reason why you feel it, to prevent you from doing it. And so there's something about that. It was like, yeah, there might be a reason why you feel sad. So that mystery was, and that question was a big driver of like, well, how would we dramatize that?
Cool. So I see a lot of, for whatever reason, I see a lot of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory story, and I read about Roald Dahl basically in different drafts of that story having 25 or so kids going through the factory that were all bad kids. I was wondering how early on you settled on these five emotions.
Not that early on. We've talked to all these different researchers, and even if you look online, you know, you'll see different people saying there's 16 or 27, I think, one of them. Different emotions, and we talked to some folks saying some of these don't show up right away, like, you know, Schadenfreude was an example of an emotion we had, the delight in other people's pain, and that's not there in little kids, but it is in like medium age kids, and so we thought maybe he could show up, but it ended up just being so complicated. And as a writer, I was just thinking, how am I going to keep point.
I'm not going to... He's so upset that Schadenfreude got cut.
Yeah.
If we were making a movie about a film executive, maybe Schadenfreude would be the man.
Okay. Yeah, I just...
Well, I think it was about... It was about clarity. I mean, there was so much debate about how many... mouth-to-mouth, somebody...
All right. We're back.
There's so much debate about how many emotions there are, even in the world of science. I mean, you know, 30 to 2 to none. And we kind of thought about these guys like our seven dwarfs. Like, we could just make really clear characters that you would get on just one quick read. And so I think it's just trying to be efficient in the storytelling.
Yeah.
And it did. Dr. Ekman, who we worked with, is one of the scientists that he defined six main emotions. Mm-hmm. And one of them was all the ones we have plus surprise. Mm. But that felt a little too close to what fear would do. It felt like a response than more than a reaction or more than an emotion. So we consolidated on five and felt right.
Cool. Man, I think that's that. All we, man, I have so many more questions.
Oh, man. Great questions, by the way.
This is a dense movie. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Before I go, I guess I have one little thing I want to ask. So this is not necessarily about the movie.
Okay.
But I'm graduating from film school tonight.
Wow. Actually.
Seriously?
So I was wondering, is there one little bit of advice that you wish you had when you were 22?
Wow.
Getting into this?
Boy.
Yeah, mine is this. First of all, congratulations.
Yeah, that's
cool. Huge. Mine is, because I wanted to work for Disney. That was my dream. And I didn't even know Pixar existed until I was at film school. So I guess my advice is, if you have something in your head, like that the biggest thing that you always dreamed, know that there's something else smaller and cooler brewing somewhere that's younger and better. I mean, that was Pixar, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I always tell people that, like, because some people are like, well, my goal is to work at Pixar. I'm like, no, your goal should be to make something really cool.
Yeah.
And it might, maybe that's at Pixar, but I suspect there's something newer and younger. So that's my advice. No one had told me that, so I kept aiming. And I'm glad I did. I ended up now working for Disney.
Mine would be kind of similar, is find a small company where you can make a bigger difference. Because at a big company, you're going to come in and you're one of 800 people, right? And especially starting out, that you're going to be a specialist. But if you come to a small place that only has three people, you have to do everything. And that's what Pixar was when I started. We had to, you know, design and write and animate and everything. So
and that's,
I think that was really fun.
That's huge. And this is for you too. Listen, when everyone at film school wants to direct, right,
and
produce and do all these things. Be the guy that's not afraid to, like, literally jump in and do anything. I was the first intern at Pixar, and I said they tried to talk me 2 hours out of the job because they said you're never going to meet John Lasseter or Steve Jobs. I'm like, I don't care, I want to work. So I was the one that I'll get coffees. I built desks. I literally swept the floors, right? And so I think I outworked everybody.
Yeah.
And so you'll find, I think, be the one. Forget who knows what about what movie and who has the deeper knowledge or who is the more camera talent. Just be the one that works the hardest. I produced two movies. I get to go to the Academy Awards because I just got sandwiches. You know what I mean?
Cool.
Good luck, man.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Very cool.
Okay, Squirt here will now give you a rundown of proper exiting technique.
Mom, it's just my ball.
Don't let it happen again.
Yes, well, I'll try to be less careless.
It's got this kind of nice, burning, melty, it's not really a smoky taste. It's a certain, it's kind of like a, you know, it's kind of like this ba-boom, zap kind of taste. Don't you think? What would you call that flavor?
Lightning?
Don't look at the light!
I can't help it. It's so beautiful.
My name is Doug. I have just met you, and I love you.
Gone! It's all gone. All of it's gone. Bye-bye. Woo, see ya.
Thank you for listening to the Pixar Podcast.